Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city, which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the sea shore. Verses 1 through 12, Hebrews chapter 11. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for how that you let us know in your word that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Thank you, Father, for the privilege we have of being able to take the weapon of faith and put it to work every day in our lives. Father, with every passing day, more and more, and guide us to be a people who are wise enough to put our faith to work in every area of life, knowing that you've told us without faith, it's impossible to please you. Help us to live a life where we're continually pleasing you for your glory and the building of your kingdom in every area of our lives. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us as well.
Father, we're so thankful that we are your children. And Father, we ask that you help strengthen our faith, the faith of our listeners, the faith of Joseph and myself, that we would trust you more, we'd lean on you more, that we would live out Christian lives that honor you more and more. We want that, Father, and we recognize that that is impossible without you working in our hearts. So help us grow in our faith, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you for being a part of our listening family. We're continuing to remind our listeners that the American Family Association will no longer be canceled by culture or banned from speaking the truth. We're introducing the latest ministry effort, AFA Streaming, built and managed by the American Family Association. Previously, AFA relied on third-party platforms such as YouTube, Vimeo, and Facebook to stream content. However, these platforms have become censors of biblical truth, tragically. AFA Streaming will be available this November. AFA Streaming is an online platform that will host all of AFA-produced video content, from documentaries and church curriculum to our Cultural Institute series. All will be available online for online viewing on a user-friendly, first-class website. AFA's vision is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. AFA Streaming will provide top-notch resources that will address issues related to the core values of AFA. Please pray for this ministry effort. We very much desire your prayers. The American Family Association continues to be a leading ministry in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Find out more by visiting afa.net. Again, that's afa.net. We continue to remind and encourage you also, too, we're hoping that you will get involved with the great work of Operation Christmas Child coming up this time of the year. You can help to send the good news of Jesus Christ to children around the world through a simple shoebox gift. Packing a shoebox results in the great kingdom work of evangelism, discipleship, and multiplication. This is a direct way for you to help equip the local church around the world in different communities of the world. Operation Christmas Child's local ministry partners with a simple platform, a shoebox gift, to reach their own communities and establish life long-term relationships. For more information, visit samaritanspurse.org/OCC. Again, that's samaritanspurse.org/OCC. To learn more and to find out where a local drop-off location would be in your community. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Today, as we look in the Word of God, we're looking at a practical topic that is meant to help each of us to better understand it, how to walk victoriously in the midst of the spiritual warfare of day-to-day life. Like it or not, we all deal with lots and lots of spiritual warfare. And, you know, Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." We often talk about the importance of starting the habit of reading God's word every day. Let me share with you one of the reasons why that's such a critically important habit. Well, you know, reading God's word, and we like to encourage a goal of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible each and every day. That's a good practical habit for every believer to have. Why is that important? Well, the Bible lets us know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's one of the key tools to help us grow our faith, to strengthen our faith, reading and meditating on the Word of God each and every day. Well, why is faith so important? Well, the Bible lets us know without faith, it's impossible to please God. No matter who you are or what you do, without faith, there is no way whatsoever you can please God. So apparently, faith is critically important to the life of every single believer. Do you want to live a life that pleases God? You have to live by faith. And remember, faith is always mightily connected to God's precious word. Faith is trust in the word and the will of God. So specifically today, we're looking at the topic, words of faith that lead to victory. Again, words of faith that lead to victory. Remember this, the psalm I quote, the verse I quoted a few moments ago from Psalm 119, verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Keep in mind, you could think of the Bible as being a book full of weapons. A book full of weapons. You might think of the Bible as an arsenal of weapons and weaponry that we as believers can use. But remember, it's important for us to learn how to put those weapons to work. Well, faith is a tool whereby we can take all the weapons of God's word and put them to work. So again, as we look at this very practical topic, again, the topic, words of faith that lead to victory, we're going to talk about using our words wisely and strategically every day. You know, the fact is, in the course of a single day, your average human being may literally speak between 2,000 and 3,000 words. Obviously, some people speak more words than other people. And it's said that women tend to say more words than men. But the fact is, men and women use lots of words every single day. But how strategic and how productive are our every word that we speak every single day? That's an important question to ask. How fruitful are our words in such a way that they can honor the Lord and accomplish something important in the world? Well, yes, words are tools whereby we accomplish things in the world. Words, you could say, are our servants as well. The Word of God tells us in Proverbs chapter 18, it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so it's critical that we understand that using our words wisely is a very, very important goal for every believer in all the world. So as we look at this topic, Our challenge to you is that you will prayerfully ask the Lord to help you to use your words wisely and productively every single day. Because again, every word is important. Every word makes a difference. Every single word that we speak, you know, in fact, the Word of God lets us know that one day we will be judged on how we use our every single word. So the words we speak are very important. So specifically that verse was Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Again, Proverbs 18, 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Well, specifically, I want to take a moment to, I'm going to be sharing an article that I wrote that was on the AFA stand. In a few moments, we'll share it on the other side of the break. But what I want you to understand is, number one, the habit of reading God's Word every day is much more important than any of us grasp. Remember, your time in the Word of God is your daily appointment one-on-one with the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, Jesus will speak to us as much as we'll listen. So it's important that we're listening to the Word of God and obeying the Word of God every single day. So if you don't have that habit of reading three chapters every day, I would encourage you to start that habit today. Now remember, if you're one who reads more than that, wonderful. You can't get too much of God's Word. It only increases the blessing, the inpouring of grace into your life. So reading more is better, but at least a goal of reading at least three chapters a day is a wise and a fruitful goal for every single believer. If you're not doing that, I would encourage you to start that habit today. And again, to every parent listening, parents, it's important that we're seeking, obviously, to disciple our children, to help them to come. Our goal should be to help each of them to come to know Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives, and that we're diligently discipling our children. And an important part of that is guiding, teaching, and training them to read the Word of God every single day as well. So for your children, parents, if you don't have the habit of having them to read three chapters out loud to you daily, I would encourage you to start that habit today as well. Why? Because helping your children to consume the Word of God daily is, that too, is much more important than you and I realize. Remember, we live in a world where people consume toxic darkness, toxic poison from the world by the gallon, sadly. Yet God's Word is pure light. God's Word ministers to your mind, body, and spirit. So yes, we as men and women who love the Lord, we need to be consuming God's Word in large amount every day. But parents, we need to be helping our children to do the very same thing. What a tragedy it is that you have children that have access to the internet and much of the toxic darkness and poison that they consume as they look on the internet and television and other media. Yet some of those same children may rarely, if ever, crack a Bible to read anything from it. On the other hand, when a child is consuming the Word of God every single day, it makes all the difference in the world. Parents, I can't overemphasize how important it is for your child to be reading God's Word every single day. So if you don't have that habit of having your child to read out loud to you every day, today is a great day to start that. Now remember, have them read out loud to you. Why is that important? Because for parents to say, well, Johnny or Debbie, go read your Bible. Go read three chapters today. Well, Johnny and Debbie are human beings and they're children. And sometimes children will say, yes, Dad, I read. Yes, Mom, I read and haven't read. And they haven't read anything. You might say, well, my children don't lie to me. Well, you keep telling yourself that. The fact is, our children are human beings. They lied to Dad and Mom just like many a child does. Have them read out loud to you and you'll know that they did it. And it will bless them and bless you as you do it. We're looking today at the topic of words of faith that lead to victory. We'll be right back.
Perfect. Other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Yo, it's crazy.
amazing. We can turn our heart through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life. Twisted. Other days my thoughts just fall apart. I do, I don't, I will, I won't. It's like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine words from my lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life.
Music of Toby Mac with Speak Life. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our topic for today is words of faith that lead to victory. And we're talking about the importance of using your words wisely. Again, as Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 tells us, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. One important habit that we as believers are wise to take up in our lives and to take on is the habit of speaking the promises of God over your life and standing on those promises. Remember, you're never wrong to agree with God, yet the fact is there are many promises in the Word of God that we can find that when you read it, you may more or less hear the devil say to you, that's not true for you. Well, it's important that you understand that that's what often will happen. But also, you speak and agree with that promise anyway. I think of, for example, in the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, it tells us these words, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Well, in that third verse, it says, whatever he does shall prosper. Well, a wise promise to stand on from God's word from Psalm 1 is to say on a daily basis, whatever I do prospers. I read and meditate on God's word daily, and whatever I do prospers. Whatever I do prospers. Why is that important? Because when you speak the word of God, you're speaking by faith that the manifestation will come. But on the other hand, what too often believers may have allowed to happen in their lives is before they even think about speaking a promise and standing on that promise, they may more or less hear a demonic voice in their head say, that's not true for you, so you might as well not say it or even believe it. Well, remember, that's what happened in the Garden of Eden. The devil cast doubt on the word of God before Adam and Eve, and they listened to him rather than to the wisdom of God's word. And all the problems in the world have come as a result of people stepping away from believing the word of God and believing the lies of the devil. It's important that we understand faith is believing God rather than the world, rather than the devil. So it's important that we're seeking to do just that. In the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 9, verse starting at verse 27, it tells us these words. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows it. But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. Well, notice here in this passage, verse 29, Jesus says to them, according to your faith, let it be to you. It's important that we understand that so many things in our lives will happen based on our faith and trust in God. Things can happen or things that will not happen as a result of our not trusting God. So it's important to know every day is a day for us to be exercising our faith throughout the day in big things, little things, all in between things. When the challenges of life come up, a wise habit to have is to say, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. Why is that important? Because you're speaking words of faith, that you're trusting God, not worrying, not panicking, not being upset over what's going on. And there's lots to easily panic over in life if you let yourself do that. Lots of challenges going on in our world and our culture today. But a wise response for believers is to daily speak many times throughout the day, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. I want to share with you briefly from an article that we shared on the AFA stand. The article is entitled, A Lifelong Student in the School of Faith. And if you'd like to get a copy, just email us at jparker@afa.net. Again, the article, A Lifelong Student in the School of Faith. Hebrews 11:1 tells us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then in Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And then Romans 1:17 tells us, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Romans 1:17. Is the word of God true? Of course it's true. It's the word of God and his word is truth. And God always keeps his word. Well, if the word of God is true, I'm called to believe that it's true and act like it's true and live a life acting on its truth. Why would this be so? Well, this is true because living a life of faith is to hear the word of God so we can believe and live like that word is true. Faith follows the word of God because faith trusts and obeys. It spells out very clearly that walking in faith is tremendously important to everything in the Christian life. It can keep in mind also, the Bible tells us, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Again, Hebrews 11, verse 6. So it is impossible to please God without faith. Romans 1:17, as well as other passages, tell us, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Or some translations say, the just shall live by faith. So we see we are commanded to live by faith. So in view of the truth that without faith we cannot please God, and by his command the just shall live by faith, we need to clearly understand a very important truth. Faith and living by faith are extremely important for every believer everywhere. So every believer would be wise to decide to become a lifelong student of faith. In other words, we would be wise to continually seek to build our faith and to continually learn more about faith and how to put it to work in our lives and in our world. The Word of God lets us know that every believer has some faith. Romans 12, verse 3 lets us know. Romans 12:3 says, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So every believer has a measure of faith. Yet we are wise to understand that our faith can grow and increase according to the word of God. And it should continually be a goal for all believers to grow and develop our faith to become stronger and stronger. Romans 10:17 lets us know how faith can grow when it says, so faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. So then a believer can grow and increase his or her faith by reading, studying, and meditating on the word of God. It's important then for us to understand too, faith is trust and belief that the Bible is true. And we live in we live a life of faith as we trust the Word of God and live a lifestyle acting on the Word of God. Hebrews 4:2 tells us, "For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened." Reading that again, Hebrews 4:2, "For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened." Keep in mind that living a life of faith is a life in which you need to know how to turn the switch of faith on. In other words, it's important to know how to activate and focus your faith and to use it to overcome in any given circumstance. In the challenges we face every day in our lives, whether we win or lose a battle is dependent on putting our faith to work. Knowing how to use and apply our faith makes all the difference in the world. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 tells us, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." If we want to live victorious, if we want to live a victorious Christian life, we need to put our faith to work in every area. We need to put our faith to work in our lives every day of our lives. This is how we live a life that pleases God and that builds the kingdom of God. Read and meditate on the Word of God every day. Learn to stand on the promises in God's Word. Grow in your understanding that God and His Word can be trusted. You and I are wise to decide to be students in the school of faith who learn more and more about how to use our faith daily. Why? Because one of our goals is to grow in our knowledge of how to live a life that pleases and honors God. And this is a life of faith and trust in Him. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 tells us, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day and to the day of eternity. Amen." Let's be lifelong students who never graduate. Let's keep learning and growing in faith and knowledge of Him. Again, the title of the article, "A Lifelong Student in the School of Faith." Again, keep in mind, the Word of God lets us know death and life are in the power of the tongue. So speaking words of faith is very, very important. But a related truth that you can look at in relation to that verse is that defeat and victory are in the power of the tongue, you could say as well. Looking now in the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 13, a very familiar chapter and verse, a story is found there, a true story of Israel. Israel has come out of Egypt, and they're poised to go into the promised land. Moses is leading them, and Moses sends 12 spies into the land to spy out the land that God has called them to go in and to subdue, to overtake. So we pick up in chapter 13, and we see a very important faith story found in the Word of God. Again, Numbers chapter 13, verse 26. "Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, 'We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan.' Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight.'" Verses 26 to 33, Numbers chapter 13. Well, here we see a very tragic story in the life of the children of Israel. They are poised to go into the promised land. Remember, Moses sends the spies into the promised land not to see whether or not they could take it. That was never their task, but to go and see what they were going to deal with as they went into the land. But sadly, the 12 spies came back. Two of them came back with a good report, but 10 of them came back with what the Bible refers to as a bad report. Why was their report bad? It was bad because it was a report of unbelief. 10 of them decided that the challenges in the promised land are too big for us to overcome, that we can't do it. And they came back and convinced the majority of the children of Israel that they couldn't go in and take the promised land. Two of the spies, Caleb and Joshua, said, yes, we can do it. With God's help, we can overcome the land. 10 said we can't do it. 2 said we could. Well, in a sense, you could say they were all right. The 10 who said we couldn't didn't. But the 2 spies who said, with God's help, we can, they did. Well, the 10 who said we can't take the land, sadly, they died very shortly under judgment after coming back as they came back and brought a report of unbelief. But Joshua and Caleb, who believed that with God's help they could overcome it, God let them live long enough to go in and take the promised land. Sadly, everybody 20 years old and older died in the wilderness before they reached the promised land because they believed the 10 other spies. But Joshua and Caleb, with God's help, lived and saw the conquering of the promised land. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we look at the topic, Words of Faith That Lead to Victory. We'll be right back. Music from the group Mosaic, the song simply entitled Tremble. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking today at the topic, Words of Faith That Lead to Victory. And we're wanting to help remind you as a believer to keep in mind the words you speak every day are very, very important. And remember, every word in the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation is a word of faith. Every promise found in the Word of God are words of faith and words of promise as well. You and I are wise to find the promises in the Word of God and choose to speak and stand on those promises every single day. Remember, the Bible, amongst other things, is a book full of weapons, weapons that will help you to be victorious as you put them to work. But speaking words of faith are much more important than I think any of us typically grasp. So again, Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. The words you speak can bless your life, or they can curse your life every day. The words you speak can strengthen you, or they can cause you to stumble. The words you speak can help build your life and strengthen your life in the things of God, or the words you speak can cause you to tear your own life down and to bring difficulty and problems to your life. Our words are much more powerful and important than often we realize. Well, we just read from Numbers chapter 13, the story of the 12 spies that went in to spy out the land. Keep in mind, after reading that, I want to remind and encourage you that's a powerful example found in Scripture of what took place. Again, 10 spies believed that they couldn't take the land. They failed to put their faith and trust in God, and they came back, and through their words, they spoke words of doubt and unbelief, and those words brought doubt and unbelief in the majority of the children of Israel after they came back and brought a bad report, a report of unbelief and a report of doubt. But Caleb and Joshua believed that with God's help, they could take the promised land. Well, remember, they spoke words of faith. They did live to see Israel go in and take and overcome the promised land. What made the difference? The words, the faith and the words of faith that those spies spoke. The 10 who said they couldn't do it didn't do it. They died in defeat, sadly. The 2 who said we can do it did do it. By God's grace, they lived to see Israel go in and conquer the promised land. Our words are very, very important. You and I are wise to make it a goal to speak words that line up with the Word of God. And remember, you're never wrong to agree with God. You're never wrong to agree with the promises in God's Word. They're weapons. When you speak the Word of God, when you speak and stand on the Word of God, those are ways that you put the weapon of the Word of God to work. Remember, in Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us that God's Word is the sword of the Spirit. It's the weapon of the Spirit, and one of the ways we put it to work is by speaking the Word of God and standing on the Word of God. So we see a story that led in the defeat, at least initially, of the children of Israel, because again, the 10 spies said that they couldn't overcome the promised land, and they died shortly after that, but the majority believed the 10 spies. And so Israel did not pass and get to go in and take the promised land at that point. They had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And all the people 20 years old and older died before they got to go into the promised land, except 2 people. Who were those 2 people? Caleb and Joshua, because they did trust God. They did believe God. They put their faith to work, and God honored their faith because they chose to trust God. We have to choose to put our faith in gear in every situation. In fact, every day of our lives, we need to choose to put our faith in gear. And how do we do that? In part, we do it through the way we pray and believing God will answer our prayers that line up with His Word. But also the words that we speak, the words we speak should be words of faith, words that line up with the Word of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, a story in the Word of God, a powerful true story in God's Word that probably all of us are very familiar with. But it's the story of the battle between David and Goliath. This is a great story with many great faith lessons in it. But one of the key truths I want you to focus on is, remember, David spoke words of faith before he went out to defeat Goliath. He spoke words of faith that lined up with the Word and the will of God, and God honored David's faith. Picking up now in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 31, it tells us these words. Now, of course, David has come on the scene where his brothers are three of his brothers are soldiers in the army with Saul. And they've seen Goliath has been challenging the army of Israel for 40 days. But no one, not even King Saul or any of his soldiers, have stepped up to challenge Goliath. Well, here David is picking up 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 31. Now, when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it." Well, David conversed with Saul, and Saul is finally convinced that David can go and fight the Philistine. And so, picking up at verse 40, it tells us these words as David goes out to fight Goliath. "Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, And the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." So it was, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath, and killed him, and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road to Shearim as far as Gath and Ekron. Again, through verse 52 of 1 Samuel chapter 17. Well, here again we see that David goes out to fight the Philistine Goliath. And notice David goes out, and before the battle begins, Goliath says words of challenge and words as if he feels like he can easily defeat David. But David speaks words of faith and trust in his God. And David goes out and says what he's going to do. He lets him know that he's going to defeat Goliath, that he's going to cut off his head and bring a great victory to Israel. David speaks words of faith before he goes out into battle. And he goes out and carries out the victory he spoke before he went into battle. You and I as believers are wise to do the same thing. Like it or not, you and I step into battle. We step onto the battlefield every day of our life. We're dealing with spiritual warfare at home, on the job, at school, in the workplace, in the grocery store. Spiritual warfare is all around us. That's why as believers, we're wise to speak words of faith everywhere we go. Words that line up with the word of God. Psalm 23 says, has promises we're wise to speak every day. We're wise to speak daily. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And speaking the whole psalm, why? Because the whole psalm is a weapon. Speaking the words of that psalm are wise because you're standing on the promises in that psalm. Psalm 1, a great weapon as well. Speaking it every day. Finding promises in God's word and speaking them over your life are so important because, remember, the Bible is a book full of weapons. It's an arsenal of weapons, but they're weapons to be put to use on a daily basis. How do we do that? Largely with our tongues, with our mouths. We speak the words of God. People speak lots of words every day, but so many of the words people speak are idle words. Words that don't honor God, words that don't accomplish a whole lot, and sometimes they're words that work against us. But remember, when you're speaking the word of God, you're never wrong to agree with God. God's word is truth, and you're putting truth to work. You're pouring truth and grace into your life as you speak the words of God every day. So with that being the case and that being true, that makes God's word much more important than many people even begin to grasp. So reading and studying the word of God every day is important, but speaking and standing on the promises in God's word is very, very important as well. If you want to live a victorious Christian life, We as believers need to habitually live a life where we speak words of faith that lead to victory. Father, anoint us with wisdom and grace to do just that as a lifestyle, each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as usual, towards the end of our broadcast, if you're listening today and you've never made the very, very important decision to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, today is a very good day to get saved. I invite you to simply pray this prayer with me, or if you sense a need to recommit your heart to the Lord, would you simply pray this prayer with us today as well? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived your life, and you died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways, Lord. I confess these to you, and I repent and turn from the wrongs I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, in a brand new way, come anew into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. In your word, you told us, whoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Save me. Fill me with your spirit. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. Please email us if you just prayed that prayer and gave your life to Christ. We'd like to share with you some literature that will begin to help you to grow and grow strong in your walk with the Lord. Or if you're wanting to get a copy of the article we shared, the article entitled, A Lifelong Student in the School of Faith. Again, same email, jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to share it with you. Or any of the prayer resources or discipleship resources that we provide, we're glad to share them with you. Simply email us and let us know you'd like to get them. Again, the email, jparker@afa.net. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession. As today we've been looking at the topic, words of faith that lead to victory. Hope that you will make it your goal to be a lifelong student in the school of faith and never graduate, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. But this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Let's put our faith to work through our words and our actions every day. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.